This is Carrie and Tommy,
live from our granny flat.
My granny flat.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Afternoon, Australia, and afternoon to you, Carrie Bigmore.
Hello.
Hello, Tommy Little.
Hello. You're up and about today.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, this morning I went and launched the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it fits in with all the other festivals going
on. You've been in Brizzy and Adelaide and...
Brizzy, Hobart, Adelaide, then Perth and Sydney still to come. But exciting news because I've added an extra show in Melbourne at the Arts Centre. I'm going up.
Does that mean you have to change your content?
No.
It
means they let me play it once.
I don't think they would have heard words like that in their theatre.
Yes, they said, what do you want for a rider? And I said, just a couple of slabs of your finest gents. Comedy Festival kicks off this week. I'd love to see you there, people of Melbourne. If you want to get tickets, tommygoodall.com.au. Get around me,
I just
you
worked out
people.
What you just said. I thought you asked for a slab of your finest gents. What you asked for,
I'll be
is
honest,
a slab of your finest.
If
comma gents.
At the right time of night, I'll have a sniffle of either.
Speaking of sniffle.
Oh God, Christian's let out a noise.
Speaking of sniffle, up next, highbrow stuff that would go down very well in the Arts Centre.
Yes, tune in, patrons of the Arts Centre, because 2 years ago on this great show, we did possibly the greatest segment ever done, and it's back. It's When Did a Fart Ruin Your Life?
Up next with Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
On 131060, we'd love to hear from you on the simple topic of when has a fart ruined your life? I read in the newspaper today about an engineer who is suing his former employer.
His former employer by the name of, what does he call him? Mr. Stinky.
Does he?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you should rethink that. Anyway, for $1.8 million lawsuit
because he
continuously farted 5 or 6 times a day. He'd fart in his general direction and thrust his bum at him.
I would be sitting with my face to the wall, and he would come into the room, which was small and had no windows. He would fart behind me and walk away. He would do this 5 or 6 times a day.
Yes. So a $1.8 million lawsuit.
Yeah, is it the flatulence had caused him severe stress?
In other news, I believe the perpetrator is asking for one new suit after farting it 5 or 6 times a day for the whole time. No, anyone? High fives all round? Fresh air there.
And apparently,
which is nice for a change.
He used to spray him with deodorant.
So it's fair to say fart ruined your life.
Of course. Major distress there for him.
I was troubled when I bust in here earlier today. I kicked down the door of the granny flat. I went, because we can do when did a fart ruin your life again?
I don't remember doing it the first time.
And I don't know how you don't remember.
My fart, your fart, whose life was ruined?
No, I farted. I dated a girl who didn't live here, and we had a whirlwind romance of a weekend.
Yep.
And then she left. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. Into the ether forever.
Mm-hmm.
Go back overseas. And I thought she'd left my old place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd been saving up 2 days of farts because it was a whirlwind romance.
Yeah,
right? And so I finally pulled the ripcord.
Do you save 2 days of other things as well?
Everything.
Oh, my God. So this must be so painful.
It's the worst part about dating.
Okay.
And so it obviously is. Trying to time a...
Especially
the pub before you head home.
Open plan little warehouses now.
Yeah. Awful. Anyway, so I pulled the ripcord, set off car alarms in the area, but I thought, she's left.
Yeah.
That's fine. She's already probably at the airport by now.
Flight home.
And then, after I did that, I heard a delicate... placement of shoes on the ground below me in the level below because it's a two-story place.
Female shoes?
Yes. And I realised that she hadn't left the place yet and she was simply putting on her shoes downstairs. And if I could, I'm no physics expert, but if I could hear her delicately placing her heels
on
the ground.
She could hear a giant fart.
I reckon she could hear the fart that it echoed through eternity.
What has she been
doing down there? Waiting for me to fart.
How did I not remember that story?
Yeah, I don't know. But then it led to calls. 131060, when did a fart ruin your life?
Oh, Jane's already called. We're going to get to Jane next. Jane's the only
great
one that's called.
Oh, no. Mate, don't doubt the segment that we're just about to rip into.
Okay.
Give us
a good one.
That deserves a high five.
Buzz. 131060, give us a call. When did a fart ruin your life?
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
When did a fart ruin your life?
Is that why you played Bootylicious?
Yeah.
Funny.
Good one.
Yes.
Of course, that's exactly why I shared with that song.
High five for Buzz.
Thank you. Yep.
We're okay. doing this because an engineer is demanding a $1.8 million payout because his boss, Mr. Stinky, as he called him, bullied him by constantly farting in their small windowless office.
Yes. And I didn't know, but I can now sue you, Carrie, for $1.8 million for doing the same thing.
We've got windows, though. That's the difference.
Oh, damn it. They steam up constantly.
What if I said they were cute Evie farts? Would that make it better?
They're not.
Layla, when did a fart ruin your life?
Hi, guys. This is so embarrassing, but when I first dated my partner, we're now married. It's been 4 years. We were together for about 2 months, and I told him I was a little bit flexible and I could nearly do the split. And I asked him to help me show him. And then so I was laying on my back and he, like, split my legs apart, and at the same time I let, like, a really high-pressured pop out. And it was just, like, the most embarrassing time of my whole life, and it has ruined my life.
But you, I mean, I to be honest,
you should bow out of the rest of this conversation.
No, well, I was just saying I'd marry that girl. Like, I think he's, have you ever farted in front of him again?
Like, it took me like over a year and a half to get comfortable. Now we're sort of a bit more comfortable, but that's showing how embarrassing it was for me because I'm just not that sort of person at all.
And so do the splits still get a run?
Awkward. No.
As I said, bow out of the conversation.
Sorry, see ya.
Jane, when did a fart ruin your life?
Hi, guys. Well, I have run many marathons in my life and often do see signs saying, people holding up signs saying, never trust a fart during a marathon. And, you know, I found out the hard way. In a particular marathon, you had to line up in your corral really early because the marathon was a 5:30 start. So you had to be in your corral by 4:30. Oh. So, you know, who's going to go to the toilet before that? I had to get up at 2 in the morning. And I'm normally a 6 o'clock sort of a girl.
Yeah.
So sure enough, half an hour into that marathon, it was really bad. And I went one thinking, yeah, okay, I'm good. And then, I had to run 20K.
So, Jane, what kilometre mark?
At 6K mark, so I had to finish the rest of the marathon. Oh. Yeah.
Were there any portaloos that you could kind of empty out on the way?
Yeah, you could, but, you know, I just wanted to get a good time.
How long before you start every sentence like Jane did? Now, I've done many marathons. Mm. How long before you start throwing that round?
I say it now.
Yeah.
I've done a marathon.
Do you?
Yeah. I actually, Jane, I went to exclude Carrie from that conversation because she just doesn't get marathon chat.
No, that's right. No, you have to be a marathon runner to understand.
Sorry.
And me speak the language, Jane.
Cassie, when did a fart ruin your life?
A fart ruined my life when I was on a date with a guy. We went fishing, so we were on the lake and we were in a boat and we went to switch positions so that I could sit at the front of the boat and he let out the most loudest fart I've ever heard that it scared me quite a lot. I tripped out of the boat and when I landed in the water, because I went backwards and I had my hands out, it must have been quite shallow because I broke my wrist.
Oh my gosh.
So when I came up... and I was in so much pain, he went to grab my arm to help me back in the boat.
And he let out another fart?
He yanked me up on my broken wrist.
And
did you think about just breaking into the splits to save it? Or
I thought about it, yeah.
Are you still together now?
No.
Have you ever run a marathon?
No, neither, and I haven't done that either, but I might do one, so I can tell people that I do them a lot.
Yeah, good stuff, Cass.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right now, we're going to do something that's provided me a lot of joy. I don't even know the context around it. I've just heard the audio and it's made me laugh already.
Here's the thing. Great Australians, Australians that enter into folklore. Mm-hmm. There's very few in our modern era. Mm-hmm. Egg Boy is one. People, Aussie stories that just kind of puncture society, right? Mm-hmm. The two surfers with the big mullets and beards. Well, we've got two new ones. Mm-hmm. I saw this online today, and it is two blokes. One by the name is Daniel. The other one, I don't know his name, and they are fishing for barra. I'm assuming it's in Darwin. I didn't even check that because I think when you hear and see the footage, it's got to be, if it's not in Darwin, it's in the Northern Territory okay. for sure. Catching a big barra,
yep.
gets it on the line,
yep.
and then as the barra is on the line, Daniel is, notices that there's a huge croc coming, and this is his mate's audio as he's filming it.
Run, bro. Run back, bro. Run back, bro. Run back, bro.
And that's not from the croc. He's
run
just
back.
Trying to keep the barra.
Oh, run, bro. Run, 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 run. Run, Daniel, run. Run. Oh. Run, Daniel. Run.
So okay, so it's getting tense.
Yeah, it's getting tense.
Yeah.
But the reason they're running is because yeah. they're not because they're scared of the croc, because the croc is coming after the barramundi.
Or not after them, under the barra.
No, it's got
barra.
This huge barra on the end of the line, yeah. and they're running back.
Yeah.
Once again, not afraid of the croc, just because the croc's trying to eat the barramundi.
And they want their barra.
They want a huge barra that they've caught. It goes on.
Oh, the whole thing.
Oh, the whole thing's gone down his gob. Oh, my God.
The croc's got the barra.
Daniel, that was a boost of a fish.
That was a boost of a fish.
A boost of a fish.
So good. And they've got one last word. Once again, they're now standing about 5 metres away from the croc.
From the croc. And they're not worried about the croc?
Nah, because they've just eaten a boost of a fish. And they did have one final word about what they thought about the croc, who's yep. eating their boost of a fish.
Oh, what a f- dog.
They sound like, you know when you put on your voice that yeah. you do? I don't know what.
Tommy.
Yeah, that voice. Thanks, Buzz. Buzz.
I can't do it as good as Tommy.
That's what you sound like.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
That
oh,
one.
Nah. Oh, yeah. Nah. Oh, yeah.
Say beast of a thing.
Oh, that was a boost of a food.
See, you sound just like it.
So I don't know how many calls we get on this, but I thought it's fun.
Yeah.
131060. What happened? Mm. When you were trying to catch a boost of a fish.
Boost of a fish.
Fishing stories.
Fishing
adventures.
Stories. What happened when you were trying to catch a boost of a fish? Give us a call, 131060.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Buzz, how would you describe yourself?
Boost of a fish.
Absolutely agree. Two dead set legends fishing in Northern Territory. I haven't fact checked that. No. I just would bet my house on it.
Yeah. Not scared of the croc.
No, there's a big croc. They've got a barra on the line. And then Daniel, run, Daniel, run, Daniel. And a huge croc came and ate it. And they were filthy. What did they call the, what did they call the croc, Buzz?
Oh, they called the croc a.
Oh, what a f- dog.
So we're asking on 131060 the very relatable call topic of what happened when you were trying to catch.
Beast of a fish.
Tony from Sin City. Tony, what happened?
Yeah, I was fishing up at the Hawkesbury with mates, caught a good haul, cleaning it up, nice big silver rim on the sink at the shore there.
Yeah.
Turned around to grab the next fish, and pelican came down, stole the fish and flew away.
Put it in its flappy neck jowl bit.
And gone.
What an absolute...
Beast of a fish!
Beast of a pelican.
Beast of a pelican. Bloody hell. And so, Tony, do you hate pelicans now? Or are they all right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time I see them, yeah.
Great
they're,
stuff.
They're, I was going to say, their gobs really intrigue me. That's not what they're called.
Yeah, they've got a very,
what is that?
The beak?
A jowl?
They're very scrotumy.
Oh, sure. That's what I was thinking, but.
What were you thinking?
Jowly.
Jowly.
Jowly, I feel yeah. like it's more appropriate.
Okay, I should have gone with that. I'm so sorry. Paul, what happened when you were trying to catch a...
Beast of a fish!
I was fishing the Fitzroy River in Rockhampton, trying to get barra. Last pilchard, line started to run. We chased this fish for about 25 minutes. The line went slack, and we pulled in half a fish. It was 63-centimetre barra, and I've never caught a barra before. If I had caught the lot, it would have been well over a metre of my first barra, and I've never caught a barra since either.
Wow. And so, forgive my ignorance, shark? Croc?
They reckon it was a bull shark. A croc would have pulled it back. The line went flat, so yeah.
Oh, what a f- dog!
Oh, we said worse than that.
You've caught a fish?
I've caught a fish.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Paul, have
Do
you.
Do I look like a fishing girl?
No.
Yeah.
What did you catch?
I'm not sure, but it was good. We ate it.
Wow.
Tasted good. I was the only one to catch a fish on a boat full of men.
Were you?
Yep. It was. I felt very good about that. Any more tales you want from my life?
I mean, tell the same one again, but slower.
Sure. Did you know?
Hey, I was going to say, you should go up and do Million Dollar Fish up Darwin. They tag barramundis, and there's a million dollar one out there that's got a tag on it. So you catch barra, and one of them,
amazing.
Yep.
I'm very competitive.
Yeah.
John?
You could relive your crazy, halcyon fish-catching days.
Good on you, John. What happened when you tried to catch a beast of a fish, mate?
So I'm doing some deep sea fishing out in Fiji. We're in about 500 metres worth of water, depth-wise, and we hooked onto a massive tuna. And the rod was absolutely screaming, talking about 30 minutes to try and bring it in. And as we got it close to the boat, a hammerhead shark came and took the whole thing.
A hammerhead.
And the hammerhead shark was bigger than the boat, so there was a few words said.
What do you mean? How big was the boat?
The boat was a bit over 5.5 metres.
Oh my God.
Hey, John, have you heard the story?
Scary.
Have you heard the story about when Carrie caught a fish?
No, I haven't.
Oh, mate, we won't do
it's
it for
a good
our
one,
listeners.
John.
Stay
I'll
on
tell
hold.
You off here.
Stay on hold, and she'll tell you.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Okay.
Yeah, I love this. I love
be
the deep
that
breath.
Person. I'm going to be that person. Do you remember when Oprah did that thing?
Oh,
was it
Oprah
The Secret?
Thing again.
No. What was that thing that she did where everyone started following it and it became like this cult thing?
That was The Secret.
The Secret?
But that was, she was just on Oprah.
Either way, it was a thing. Everyone went, oh, my God, Oprah The Secret. I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm getting behind it. I'm listening to TED Talks. I'm all on board.
If I imagine it, it will become.
I don't know. I never got into it. Never saw it. Don't know. But I'm becoming that about something else.
Yeah. You know what you do when you're really excited?
What?
You give totally unrelated, useless information. So what are you excited about?
No, I'm just
about?
Aware that I'm late to something and I'm aware that I'm excited about it and that I'm going to sound a bit strange.
Tell me about MySpace.
So last night I took Ollie to a speech.
Yes.
A talk, right? Yes. It's called the Resilience Project.
Yep.
I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of the whole thing, but you'll be interested in the guy has done all this with a lot of the footy clubs, I think with Collingwood Football Club, with some of the NRL teams, and it's all about gratitude, empathy, mindfulness, the sort of key things you need in life to increase your mental state.
Make
to
you
decrease mental illness.
The best you can be.
The best version of yourself, right? It's not quick fix stuff. It's about how you have to commit to it and do it. And
is
Dusty, I think, went on to win a premiership having done it. I may be misquoting what happened, but I think it was something like that.
Well, he's got a Brownlow, he's got a premiership, he's got a Norm Smith,
Anyway, it was so fascinating. I took Ollie because I want Ollie's at the age where I think he could start appreciating the world and what he has.
Great.
And I think sometimes we're all not very good at realizing what we have is enough and we always want a bigger this, a better this. What if I could have that? What if I did this in my career rather than what have I currently got?
The Kardashian effect.
The Kardashian effect. But also I wanted him to go there because he's at the age where he wants a mobile phone. And we are one of the last people holding out.
I was going to say, hasn't he got
yes.
one?
Yes. Okay. No.
Oh, God.
No.
What's he doing? Can and string? What's he doing?
No, my whole thing is once he has that mobile phone, he's never, ever, ever going to be at peace ever again.
Okay. That is real drastic.
But it's true.
Sometimes people call their friends on these things.
No, but that's the thing. He can't come home from school and home be a safe space.
Okay.
He'll always be able to be contacted.
Okay.
Right? He'll always be addicted to whatever the app is that he's using. I watched him with Fortnite. I watched lots of kids with Fortnite.
Yep.
We've had a whole term without Fortnite in our house.
And so you want to make sure.
And it's like a new home.
Yeah.
Right?
You want to make sure he's equipped.
He's
with
equipped.
With the skills.
And as we sat listening to this speech, he turned to me. And he looked me in the eye and he said, Mum, you're the one that's got the problem with the phone. And he was poking me. And I was like.
Did he drop a mic? Because it sounds like he should have.
He should have. He was whispering it because we were in a big theatre and he was the guy that was talking.
Drop a microphone.
And I realised that how can I get him to not be addicted to his tablet, his iPad, his phone that he's going to get if I'm addicted?
Do I not remember one of your kids doing an impression of you and the impression was on a phone?
I'm sure it is. Because you think about in a day how often you're on a phone. My daughter, Addie, I was about to call her Abby. Her name's Addie.
Abby was the last baby you saw on Instagram.
Abby's our babysitter. Abby and Addie, it gets confusing. And when I bring my phone in front of my face, she smiles because she sees the back of my phone and is so familiar with it. That she thinks it's a familiar thing that she knows. That's really sad.
Mate, I know. I'm hearing it. That's Yeah. So are you going to, what are you going
to
do?
Well, so in this speech that I went to, they talked about digital detoxing. And every time
I
hear
that. I wonder why
word,
he was there when he didn't even have a phone.
No, because it was about lots of other stuff. Okay. Okay. But when I heard the digital detox bit, mm-hmm. and the guy said, we need to disconnect to connect. There was something that struck me.
I can't believe your phone is ringing.
It's your phone, mate.
Is it?
Yes.
See, that's how little I'm on it. I don't even know which one's mine.
No caller ID. Don't answer that one.
No, it'll be someone chasing mine.
No, I realised how often my time with my family is compromised because I'm on my phone at the same time. How many conversations I'm having with people that I love in my life.
Yes.
And I'm only half listening or half there because I'm on my phone. And the things he spoke to us about, what makes Instagram, Facebook, all those apps you're addicted to, how they make them to make them addictive, what they do to your mind when you're on them. I've heard this before and been a bit, yeah, whatever, I need it for work and, you know, it can't be that bad. After hearing that stuff, I walked away and I actually felt sick because I thought I spend probably 50% of my life on this thing and it's bad for my health and my mental health.
Hey, because I know how fired up you are about this.
Yes.
So we've been working behind the scenes and we have the man responsible for the Resilience Project and he's going to join us tomorrow.
Oh, you're making me wait.
Yeah.
That's a good tease.
Stay tuned,
you're
everybody.
You're very good at that.
Thank you. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy
Little. If you know something that will absolutely blow our minds.
Did you know bananas are actually hurt?
Did you guys know that pandas are owned by China?
Blow our minds.
Pandas in China still blows my mind. I use it a lot.
Yeah, but on the opposite of that, I don't think bananas are herbs. I just don't think that was one that blew our mind. It's weird that we've put that in the opener.
Noted.
Okay.
Maybe someone Google it. I'm
she
pretty
rules
sure they're not.
With an iron
no, I
fist.
Just don't think. I feel like we put in the opener things that you go, what?
If you have they're better examples.
They're a berry.
They're a berry?
Yeah.
What? A banana?
Botanically, a berry.
Oh, well, that's so in my mind.
That is a great example. 14, 10, 60.
That is a great example. But you know who's got some great examples today?
Who?
Oh, Caitlin.
Yeah.
Caitlin, our producer.
It's about time Caitlin brought something great to the show.
Oh, God.
Don't get stressed, Caitlin. I know there's a lot of pressure on these, but tell us something that'll blow our minds.
Okay, so I thought the other day.
Caitlin,
is the
you don't need to shout.
Oh, sorry.
You're on a microphone, people can hear you.
Sorry. Is the reason a night is called night?
You're going too slow now.
Oh, God.
And I think when you blow someone's mind, don't say is, like you're asking, just tell us it is.
Oh, well, it's not a fact, but okay. A night is called night because there is no light.
No light, night.
Yep.
No light,
that's pretty
night.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is that true?
Is that true, Caitlin?
I don't know, guys. It's a thought I had. That's why I said I think.
Well, you know what we should do? We should chuck it in the opener and then next time we'll discuss at length off the back of it.
Have you got any other things?
Hey, hang on, Caitlin.
I don't know if that's blown my mind.
Well, the reason I have it, I think it's a great theory, but we don't call daytime light. Like we don't say, oh, it's light.
So you're saying
it's no light.
If by that theory,
it should be called
light,
nay.
Yes, it should be called
because there's no day.
No day.
Nay.
Mm-hmm.
Nay. Is it called nay somewhere? Is it like a biblical thing? Is night nay?
I've never seen Caitlin look more confused right now, to be honest.
The Bible's a religious book, Caitlin, don't worry. what's your next one?
Did you know that sand is called sand because it's between the sea and land?
That's what? Good. Oh, that's good.
That has blown my mind.
Yeah. Is that a fact?
I don't know.
That's still good.
Oh, we're going with that one.
Caitlin, that's
one.
Great.
Thanks,
but
guys.
Our producer, Sonda, for some reason, has put her arms up in the air with an egg.
Yeah, I've just Googled it. It absolutely isn't. It's originated from an old Dutch word called sunt, which became zand, which then became sand.
Caitlin, I got so bored in Sonda's description.
I agree.
What is it? Sea
sand
and land.
Sand is between sea and land.
That's great stuff. Sand.
Kurt, can you blow our minds?
So, did you know when you put the waistband of pants around your neck, it's actually your size?
So your neck is the same size as your waist?
Yes.
No,
that's 100% not true.
No way. Kurt, you've either got a massive neck or a tiny waist.
What do you mean?
Seriously. Next time, try it.
You get the pants.
Oh, you mean, okay, so say you're a size 32
pants. Half.
Yeah.
So it's your waist is double your neck.
No. If you're a 34.
Move on. Holly, blow our minds.
Hi, guys. I'm
So I found out that mosquitoes, only the females actually drink your blood because they needed to produce their eggs.
Blood suckers.
And the males actually drink nectar just like butterflies.
Oh. Isn't that like the bees? The queen bee's the one that's the mean bee?
The mean bee. Yeah. Mean queen. Hey, do you know another little mosquito fact for your hole? Is firstly, they have 47 teeth that have that one for free. But secondly, the bit that makes you itchy is the gunk they use to plug up the hole. So to stop you bleeding.
So after they've bitten you, they plug you up.
Plug your hole so you don't bleed. And that's the thing that makes you itchy. So if they didn't plug us, I feel like I'd have an option. They should give me an option. Yeah. Just let me bleed. I'd rather that.
Okay. One more time for one more. Jesse or Sean, which one do you want? Jesse. Jesse, blow us. Blow us.
Jesse, blow us.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hughie and Katie next to drive you home.
And they do both join us now. G'day, legends.
Oh, hello, legends.
Ooh, the dogs.
Mm. You've always had a saucy tone to you, Kate, but broadcasting from Italy, it's really stepped up a notch.
Do you think it has?
Yeah, it has.
Maybe it was what I did last night, Carrie Bickmore.
What did you do?
Well, you know, when Sash was here, she went on a Tinder date.
Hang on. Are we paying $5 a minute for this chat, Katie?
It does sound very sultry right now.
Doesn't it?
Well, we've adopted Sash's Italian boyfriend, who we call Giuseppe.
Oh, is he the one that took him for the drive?
Yes. And Peter had his first bike ride with him yesterday. And guess what they did? They rode 80 kilometres. They sweated like bastards. And guess what they did, Carrie Bickmore? They replaced their fluids with wine.
I was going to say they had a shower together. Did they or not?
But how's that? And then my
did they shower?
Was all ruined.
Did they shower?
No, not till he came home. They drank wine. I've never known him.
What were you involved in this?
No,
you said
I
what
didn't.
What we got
come.
Up
I'm
to
not...
last night. I thought, Master, you must have done something.
Oh, no. Then we went out to dinner last night to celebrate their first ride together.
Just the three of you?
You enjoyed the wine.
God, there's so much wine and so much food, Carrie. It's too much for me.
Can I ask? Both end up with. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I want to ask if he still talks about Sash, our producer of the year.
Not as much last year because I said, Sash would love this. He went, yes.
Oh, yeah. Bubble in paradise.
Is it cool, their relationship?
No, no. Because I think she's called on him.
Oh. She's outside looking through the window now, wondering.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Are you
middle
what's
thumb?
That finger.
Middle thumb.
That's not nice.
Oh, she's wavering. They've kept it going solidly, guys.
Have they?
Yeah.
Is this been a long distance relationship?
Is it still every day, Sash?
We message every day.
I still message every single day.
That's
how
really
often
sweet.
How often do you speak on the phone?
We FaceTime every few days.
FaceTime. Yeah, that's fun.
So how do you feel about hearing that he just didn't sort of give you much when Kate brought you up last night?
Oh, Carrie, that's cruel.
Well, you just said it on air.
Yeah, she did.
How
do you feel, Sash, right now after this discussion?
Well, he's not a man of many words, so I don't...
Mm-hmm.
Have you spoken to him, Sash, since their dinner last night?
No, I haven't.
Have you learned from this, Sash, that you prefer men that can't speak the language?
Yes, absolutely.
It's so much better for her. Men who can't understand her totally misread her. For instance, you know, Hughie's always referred to her miserable face.
No, I have not always referred to that. There was one incident where I said, I don't want to be face. I want her not to look. I don't want to see her when I'm on air. That's what I said.
One incident is enough, right? But
but she was so busy.
It's terrible.
No, she gets
it's
busy.
Terrible.
And so she doesn't see the humour of the show.
She's trying to clean up after all your mess.
I know
that's why she looks miserable.
And my one audience member who's watching the show looks like they're not in a happy place. So, and that's why I just said.
I bet Sash was thinking at that time, geez, I wish Hughes was speaking another language, so I didn't have to hear.
Yeah, correct.
So what were you saying,
also,
Kate?
Tommy, you also do stand up. Do you blame the audience if they don't look happy?
Absolutely. What's the alternative? Blame myself? No, thanks.
And there's always someone who doesn't look happy in a sea of people happy. There's always someone.
Anyway. Discussing Sash with Giuseppe, you know what he said about her? He said, she's always happy, always smiling.
Well, that's
smiling.
Better than, jeez, I got a miserable face.
All right, we are out of here. Hughie and Kate, they are up next to drive you home. And good afternoon, everyone. Catch you tomorrow.
The Carrie and Tommy Catch-Up is ready to podcast now.
At carrieandtommy.com.au. Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @CarrieTommyShow.